we're back on the rule of three. Three comics. Three topics.
Yes.
10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. It's yes, we actually have three comics. Of course, as always, Mr. Brian Miller.
Hello.
And this week we have a special guest. It's the only second time we've done a special guest. Ms. Emily Galati is with us this afternoon.
Hello.
That's you.
That's me.
It's Emily was, we're going to be talking about later. We're going to be talking about the Acme anniversary party, which went down on Sunday. And of course, I don't think we can ignore the election.
Much though we might try.
But first of all, let's talk about why Emily is here.
Oh, well, I came here for the Acme anniversary party, topic number three on the list.
Stayed for topic number two inadvertently.
Stayed for topic number two inadvertently, and now I'm topic number three. Or the first topic on the list. That's crazy.
It's we're actually in the midst of a crisis. Emily flew here and lost her ID, so she can't go home.
Oh, that's not the full story, but we'll go with that. Why not? I'm living in Minneapolis now. I don't have an ID. They won't let me on flights. It's, you know.
We were just here 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago?
I was here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Three weeks ago? I spent a lot of time in Minneapolis, so it's not.
Well, and you started here because, Slagle, you recommended Emily for the club, right?
Yeah, yeah, yes. No. I saw her act. I said, "Oh my gosh, she's perfect for Minneapolis." It's you know, you're one of the few comics I see that have a notebook wherever you go. You are always writing. You are always working on your act. I've always admired your discipline. It's
thank you.
If I had that discipline when I was your age, by now, I wouldn't be worried about where the next meal's coming.
Spoiler alert, it's Lewis. Lewis is where your next meal is coming from, literally.
Oh, which, and I think we should add, we normally this podcast is done over the magic of the internet. We're actually on the Acme stage today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I am
best place to be.
It is the best place to be.
And was it your first week when I was an MC and you were featured? I think it was your second week.
Was it? It might have been my first week with James.
Was James the, is that your first one? Okay, yeah. So I was the MC and you were in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, because I think my second week was Hamilton.
Okay. Yeah. Because me and you and James Johann, great comic.
We
had many a feisty conversation at the bar. And I think the feistiness gradually grew into camaraderie.
Yeah, I think that's how we bonded over a passionate love of comedy and dreams 5 years ago, and now our friendship is just bitterness and
shared bitterness and spite, mutual spite, a lot of mutual spite.
It's funny how friendships evolve.
We hate all the same people, which is really all that you can ask for in a good friend.
Wow, in comedy, you mean?
Yeah, and just in general.
Just in general. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, and then we write great jokes together.
Yeah.
That's Brian and I have fun moments where we go, I didn't even write that joke, Brian Miller did. Like, when people compliment jokes, yeah. I'm like, that's all Brian Miller. Wow. And, like, at my worst, when I go through, like, writing slumps, the fun thing is me going on stage and people laughing at things. I'm like, I haven't written anything new in a while, like, why even laughing at this? And then, like, it'll get a big pop. I'm like, I didn't even write that line in my head. I'm like, Brian Miller wrote that line. I'm not even the funny one here. Like, it's like...
It is interesting because it's I like writing with other people, but it doesn't often match up, I don't think.
No.
You might have a good time, but you leave and you go, I didn't get anything I'm going to use, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for us, I think it just works out. Like, I think we like the same style of jokes. The amount of times that we'll pitch ideas to each other and be like, this is what I think is funny, and then someone will jump and be like, I have these tags, like, oh, I have that line four times, like, four lines later. Like, it's
Yeah, wow.
It works out really well, so.
So do you ever, Brian, do you ever actually, you're on stage and a line gets really good and you go, oh, wow, that was a good one. Oh, no, crap, that was Emily.
Oh, absolutely. So oh, the closer to my Trump joke that I did at the anniversary show, that was all Emily.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I have several of those. In the world, Third World Problems, the button on that, the Canadian joke, that was yours too. That gets an applause break most of the time.
Miller wrote in my going on a date with a guy who said the N-word. He wrote only into white powder. I mean, I can go through my whole set.
I championed that joke because you told me that story and you were all chagrined and I was like, that's the funniest story I've ever heard.
And I was
like, laughing so hard when you told me that story.
Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah,
it's such a great, it's like a sitcom premise, you know?
It's so bad. And then in my going home with an NBA guy, there's a new part that I've said on stage once that Brian wrote about having to stop the NBA player when we were eating tamales from.
that's close enough. We try to keep it a family show. I heard
that was actually just me making a crass joke and you writing it down. I was just drunk and being dirty, and you were like, "Oh, I'll say that."
Funniest thing that was Brian Miller.
When you said it on stage, I was quite amused though. It's like, "Oh, I remember vaguely saying
it went
that.
So well." Well, I was dying. I was dying when you said it. We were both drunk.
Yeah, so, no, he actually was backstage. He still knows he has the copyright because when you did the line, it got a huge laugh, mm-hmm. and he bumped me. He goes, "Mine."
Yeah,
mine.
I literally like, "Hey, I said that last night."
It is a weird joy when you watch other people say lines that you wrote that crush, and you're like, "Hell yeah, that's me." Yep. But on the flip side, when you're on stage and you say it, and like sometimes it feels good and you don't care because you're like, "Oh, you know, you help each other out, and that's how comedy works." But then sometimes when you're just in the middle of slumps, you're like, "Oh, come on, like I'm not even funny."
But yeah. That's why it only works if both people are kind of contributing equally. Because mm-hmm. you know, if I've written with people, and you're like, "Well, I just gave that person 12 interesting lines, and
nothing.
They just told me that my premises were good."
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's that was one thing when we started doing Crash and Burn. That's one thing I noticed because we would all, you know. I think we've mentioned it on the show. I'll do it quickly. It's a show I do here at Acme where I get three other comics together and we spend the whole week writing new 20 minutes for each person. And it's the same thing. It's we all sit and we watch each other's show. And then when like one of our lines that we wrote for that comic does well, it's like, "Yeah, mine."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to take a bow in front of the crowd. You go, "Oh, by the way, author.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Right. But
Brian's actually going to do Crash and Burn this.
I look forward to it.
It's a great show. Everyone should come see it. I'm also lobbying to get back on it, so please send him emails and tweet at him. So or Acme, whoever you want to bug.
Emily kind of got cheated when we did it. It was she was an alternate.
Yeah.
So you had very little notice, right?
I had very little notice, and I couldn't do it one of the days because I had a college. So I had to write like 20 new minutes that I didn't tell on stage. In like a week and a half or 2 weeks because someone dropped out and I was like, "Yeah, I want to do it." And now I'm like, "Oh, I should, my only weasel back in is, I should get to do it again." Cause I didn't get.
And also back then the format was still, it wasn't really hardened. The schedule is how we would get together and how we would do, you know, give each other notes right after the show and stuff like that. I mean, that stuff was just, it probably should be obvious that we should have been doing that. Mm-hmm. But,
the process evolved a little more.
When Emily did it, we drank.
because the crowd is so supportive here, and they're like, they know what's going on, that you think you wrote 20 great minutes, and so we'd spend after the show cheersing ourselves on how we just came up with 20 of the best minutes.
Yeah, congratulate each other on our genius.
Yeah, what great comics we are.
We'd get together in the afternoon and we'd talk about how hungover we were.
But then we all also had press, so getting together was hard because we all had such different press schedules, and it seemed like, because I was here for like one or two days during the Crash and Burn this week, and I came and watched, and I literally was like, "Oh, you guys are all getting together to write like this? Oh." we didn't do that. We just drank. So please email people and tell them I should be on it again. That's the end of this.
So you scratched a college date for this weekend because you thought you were going to get at some big gig.
I thought I had a big exciting gig this week, and that's really why I'm stuck in Minneapolis. So I was supposed to be in New Hampshire. I think it's New Hampshire, Keene State, I believe it's called. So my apologies to Keene State. But you know what? Keene State probably lucked out because it would have been very angry feminist comedy for an hour. So like, probably, you know, they really lucked out moving it to the spring.
Yeah, this has kind of been the live version of hold music.
Mm-hmm.
You being in Minneapolis this week,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's where is someone? Is someone going to pick up on the other end?
Exactly.
And now you can't fly anywhere.
Now
you're a Minneapolis comic.
Forever.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. No, there are a lot of worse things. This is a great comedy town. There are a lot of worse places to be stuck, especially when you're a comic. I'm not sure there are better places to be stuck, to be honest.
And speaking of stuck.
Nice transition.
We're just coming up on 10 minutes here. So catch us on the other side.
And back on the second segment of Rule of Three, we're talking about the Acme anniversary party. Happier news.
Happier
after this.
News.
But before, much like Dante, we must descend into the depths. I'd like to start this election segment by saying hello to everyone. I've been drunk for 2 days. And Lincoln pretty much attests to that.
Yes.
How about Emily? How you been doing?
I don't think depression is the right word for it.
Yeah, but I mean, you've been drinking too, or are you just, just going to make it worse?
I've been eating chocolate. I started drinking wine while the results were coming in, and I realized that would be a real, real bad choice. So.
I drank all your wine, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
I did. It's all the wine's gone, and all the whiskey's gone, and the tequila's halfway gone, but there's still a bottle of vodka in the fridge, so.
I had a salad for lunch today, thanks to Mary Mac, but I think that's the first meal that wasn't chocolate bars.
Yeah, you ate candy. It was all candy diet on election night.
All candy, and it's been that since. Just more chocolate, just depression eating.
Wow.
Like...
Wow, this will be known as the diabetic era.
I think it actually already is in America. It's been that way for a while. Here's the thing. Now, Emily and I are the last two people not to be diabetic in America. And we're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's just join everybody else. Let's go.
Why not?
Pancreas. Who needs it?
Let's get that gout going and just move toward the finish line. It's bad. And I've been drunk. And I think, mark my words, everyone's going to regret it.
It's not, yeah, to me.
People who thought they were happy now are going to look back in 4 years and be like, ah, that was a bad idea.
That's what I think.
But I also will say, I mean, you look at the numbers, and as much as Trump won it, Hillary lost it. She did not turn people out. Now, I'm not saying there weren't other factors or whatever, but in terms of just straight up vote numbers, she just didn't get people out.
She won the popular vote, though.
That's true, but I mean, they both had the lowest total. Like,
for sure,
the game is always the Republicans' base always turns out, right? And then the question then is always, can the Democrats turn out what's supposed to be their base?
Well, the Republican base didn't really show up in the past two elections. There was not
Romney one especially.
There was no enthusiasm for Romney or McCain.
Which I was surprised there wasn't more enthusiasm. But do you think the lack of McCain enthusiasm was just the? I mean, because that's your side. Or was it, do you not like McCain? Or was it that it just Obama had too much of a powerhouse at that point?
I don't think there was any enthusiasm for McCain. It's like, he's kind of been around since the Keating Five.
Which kind of sounds
like a 60s Liverpool band, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, rank them, last three Republican nominees. Trump, not as candidates, but as people you think would do a good job as president that you're excited about. Trump, Romney, and McCain. What's your ranking?
Wow. That's like gingivitis. Would you rather have gingivitis, periodontal disease, or halitosis?
Okay, so you don't like any of the three.
I don't like any of the three. No.
Okay.
I would say that I believe that Romney was probably the most presidential man to never be elected president. I mean, if I were casting a new season of 24,
mm-hmm.
I would look at Romney's 8x10 and I go, this is the guy.
Yeah, he does have a central casting look about him.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. they tried to find dirt on him so they could smear him, and they had to go all the way back to prep school where he cut someone's hair off in their sleep.
Learning from Trump, though, even if they had found it, would it have mattered?
Yeah, it with Romney, I have always thought that Romney is probably a decent person. He's probably a genuinely moral guy who believes what he believes. Mm-hmm. Now, I might not always agree with what he believes, but he's a guy who would return your wallet with all your cash in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a kind of fundamental good person kind of way.
For sure.
You know?
And I have a friend who lives in Utah, and she just posted on Facebook that she... That's something. She went to the ATM to get some cash, and then she had to like put it in her purse, and she set it on top of the ATM, and her card, and then walked away, and then came back a day later, and it was still there.
That's crazy.
I believe Mormons are sometimes almost infuriating when these people. I work in Boise because there's a lot of Mormons there, and a lot of the hipsters in Boise are like, oh, these Mormons are annoying. I'm like, maybe, but They're so nice. They're so nice.
This is a man who lives in Minnesota. So yeah. How nice other people are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lutherans have a dark side to Mormons.
They're so smiley. They're so nice. You're like, you can't not like them.
So that's what I would probably say. But I really didn't like Romney. I didn't like you know his health care plan, you know, in Massachusetts, which was the precursor for Obamacare, which I loathe. I didn't like any of those three.
Interesting. Who would you have voted for in the primary? Would you have hoped was going to run?
In this last primary. Yeah, I was a Rand Paul guy.
Okay.
And then I heard some inside scoop that Rand Paul doesn't really like it. He doesn't really want it. He's just kind of my impression on Rand Paul is he's just doing it because his dad expects him to.
Sure.
That's
as opposed to Trump, who's doing it because his dad hated him.
I think when I think of Trump, it reminds me of that scene from Citizen Kane. Where is the guy who's running his trust fund, managing his trust fund.
Oh, the money quote, right?
Yeah, it goes...
One of my favorite quotes in movies.
I think it would be fun to run a newspaper.
Yes.
And that's exactly... I could see Trump saying, I think it might be fun to run for president. What?
Yeah.
Fun?
That's...
Is there a Democrat that you would vote for?
I don't think so. I don't. I really don't. I really don't like large government. And the Democrats are the party of large government. Every plan they have, they look at a problem and say, well, we can set up a government program to solve this. And it's like, no, you can't. It's some problems. Some problems are beyond the ability and reach of government. What it reminds me of is the legend of King Canute. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
No.
King Canute was one of the greatest kings of the Vikings, and people thought that he could do anything. And so basically what he did was he had some men drag his throne out to the ocean, and he ordered the tides to stop and sat there in his throne as the tides came up and went over his head. And as he went to the shore laughing, he said, see, even the most powerful king on earth cannot stop the tides. And that's a lesson that I think a lot of people have forgotten, you know, especially with global warming, you know, that people think that we actually can legislate away the tides.
I think we can do something to improve.
We think. We think, but there's no evidence.
I think it's worth a shot. Here's the thing. I'm a moderate Democrat, right? So I agree that sometimes I don't like the big, huge government necessarily, but I think there's some things where there just needs to be, and that's kind of what our difference would be. Because obviously you don't believe there should be no government.
Actually,
I think that's something people lose sight of a lot of times. That me and you, for instance, while we seem kind of opposed politically, are actually arguing over a fairly middle.
Right.
You know, I'm not an anarchist, and you're not an anarchist, and I'm not an anarchist. Because that's what the other either far side is, right? Like super lefty green type politics,
right?
Anarchy and super libertarian,
right? Authoritarian or anarchy, and I don't,
they're in a circle. They meet, you know.
Yeah.
So we argue I think a fairly narrow ground, and I think that's where the main battle is. You know.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I don't. Like I said, I think government should be there to protect you from me and us from them. And that's pretty much it. That's the full function.
We would disagree on sometimes from whom government should protect us.
Yeah.
I'm a
big non-interventionist. I think we got lots of ocean around us. We don't really need to keep the wars over there.
100% agreed.
Unfortunately, the reality of it is I think that we're already over there. And I mean, what's happening right now in the Middle East shows what happens when you withdraw the forces too quickly. So we're doing a little tech change here. Is apparently an open micer did a Catholic joke with that mic.
Oh. Or an NBA joke, one or the other.
Oh,
one or the other.
Hey.
Don't worry. If you ever use the prop, Emily and I were just, to get off track for the last 10 seconds here, remember, we were just talking about sometimes the necessity of telling your friends when one of their jokes sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And your NBA big dong joke is hilarious, but if the mic ever becomes the dong in the joke, you shall get a sharply worded postcard from me.
It was bigger than the mic.
It was bigger than the mic. You're going to have to get an old boom mic or something to demonstrate. We started the election talking about a dick, so we'll end up talking about one. That's our Trump segment.
It is. I think that is a necessity to tell. Yeah. Oh man, but thank you for that warning. I was just writing about using the mic today.
Fair enough. All right, we'll be back to talk about anniversary party.
So in the final segment of the Rule of Three, you probably wonder why I asked you all together today. It's because it's anniversary week for Acme Comedy. I think we talked about it last week, and now we're on the other side of the party.
In so many ways. Doesn't it feel like the last good party now in retrospect?
Yeah,
you're like, oh, look. I like the swing kids having the good dance time before the Nazis come and drag us out in the streets.
Exactly.
I don't know if people remember that movie.
It was
a big 90s movie.
Yeah, it was it. That was the blowout.
Yeah. Well, and at least we blew it out. I would probably say, I've told many people, you and I, Emily, were the last two people to leave the party.
Technically, yes. We were the last
two. Partly because our cab came later.
Yes.
But we were the last two out.
Wow. You can call it an accident or fate, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Well, yeah. Good for you. Usually it's me. I've handed the baton. I'm usually the one that the hosts look at their watch.
Yeah.
And wonder when I'm going to get the hint.
In fairness, Tim, I do remember you going, so is there a level 5? Are we going to another location? And then everyone's like, I don't think so.
Well, actually, for the listeners, is that basically there were four planned stages for the party. Level 1 was dinner. Mm-hmm. Level 2 was the show. Level 3 was the after party. And then level 4 was the VIP party.
The after party.
Yes.
Yeah, and the idea was it would be the exclusive party. Didn't really work out that way.
A lot of people didn't make it past level 3.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people left in level 3, and it's probably because it was a Sunday show.
Yeah.
It's Kermit and David Crow. Kermit Apio and David Crow both had flights in the morning because they had actually stayed over. They had been working there the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually, this is funny. Here's a little story, is that Lewis and I were sitting in the car chewing the crap. And all of a sudden we hear this belly laugh, this huge laugh, and we look out the window, and here's Kermit with his luggage going to the airport.
As you guys are getting back to your hotel.
I'm coming back
to
the hotel. Yeah. So that was funny. He couldn't stop laughing about that. I was saying it was like a video game. It's how many people can make it all the way through all four levels.
Yeah.
But then when level 4 was over, I started suggesting that is there a level 5? And I guess there was. It was one of the staff actually was.
We talked briefly about going, and then we got in the cab, and I remember turning to you. We'd gotten like 25 feet away from the club and saying, "It's probably a good idea."
Yeah,
to go home.
It's the best choice. We went home.
I mean, I was out as soon as we got back.
Sitting on your couch, and I remember just being like, "I gotta go to bed." Like,
yeah, we started at 5. I mean, the party had gone on for us for about 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was time.
It was a good party.
It was good. And here's the thing. I was definitely hungover the next day. But but it was a fun hangover. You know, it wasn't like that bad. And it was manageable. And I got stuff done. And we were just talking about, you know, at any party, it's always interesting. It's a big thing. But there's always little stories going on, you know, little dramas. Me and you and my wife had all three gone through the party totally happily drama-free and not involved in anyone else's drama. We were just having a good time. So like we ran the table. It was like time to get out. Nobody was mad at us, and we weren't mad at anybody.
Have not lost any lives.
Exactly. No,
levels.
I never embarrassed myself.
Life.
Nope.
I didn't. Yeah.
Exactly. We didn't embarrass ourselves, and nobody. We didn't leave angry at anybody. Nobody left angry at us. So to me, that's a success. That's as much as you can hope for from a big drunken party.
At the 10-year anniversary party, it was. I all of a sudden realized that I was way drunk.
For those listening at home, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, it was.
Yeah.
Sure, why?
I don't know.
A lot of the same people
already said it was the 25th anniversary.
Yeah. I know.
I said the 10th
anniversary. Wanted to reiterate how long
ago. I would hope our audience knows math.
I just wanted to reiterate how long Tim has been doing
stand-up. Were you at the
20th? I'm sorry. All right. I was not at the 20th. Tim told me about the 20th. I was barely working Acme
That's
at the
true,
time.
That's true, yeah.
And he told me, I think it was the week of my second week.
Oh, wow.
And Tim after was like, are you coming to this? I was like, I didn't know about it. And I would, especially at that time, I would have felt so out of place. And even this time, I felt kind of out of place in the amount of times that I asked Tim. I was like, well, I'm not even on the show, and I'm not a Minneapolis comic. Like, is it going to be weird if I'm there?
Yeah,
like,
you headline here all the time, so.
Yeah. It was great. I'm glad I came. Yeah. I will not miss another one, whether I'm on the show or not. Yeah. But
it's a well, actually, Lewis, and this has happened. I swear this has happened almost every single anniversary party. He goes, okay, that's the last one. There's gonna be no 30th.
He'll take a couple years to forget,
and then something will happen, and he goes, I should do another one. And
yeah.
That's what's always happened. But at the 10th. Yeah, it was. I mean, there were some pretty powerful industry types at the 10-year anniversary, and I just thought to myself, I said, okay, I am not going to do my career any good staying here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I did not. I excused myself because
that sometimes is the best move. I've done that at a festival or two, where I thought I don't want to be this drunk in front of these people for too long.
Yeah, no, because they talk.
It's a small business.
I mean, it totally is. It's like, oh, Brian Miller, he's really funny. Yeah, but can he stay sober long?
Yeah, or do you know what he called me at 2:30 a.m.? That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
I can look sober, but I can't necessarily control the attitude.
Yeah, Lewis said to me he thought I was one of the soberest ones at the after party, and I was like, I'm not going to correct you on that.
I felt very good the whole time.
I felt good.
I maintained, I ate, I was reasonable.
For as long as it was, I was buzzed to drunk almost the whole time, but never terrible, and I don't feel like ever really sober. So it was like a good, somehow through 11 hours, I maintained.
Mm-hmm.
A steady stream.
Yeah, I had a beer in my hand most of the entire night, but I didn't. But it was never to the point where it was they were going on fast.
I felt very grown up. I was like, "Ooh, look at me! I must have matured. I'm not screwing this up so bad."
It's my first grown up party.
at the first after party, I did go. I'm not sober, but I'm not as drunk as everyone. Clearly, like that was a
Clearly,
yeah,
clearly there were some people that I don't want to name names,
no.
But there were some people there that I've never seen in that situation.
Oh yeah,
and it was
fun.
Also, you know, we haven't even talked about the show. I thought the show was fantastic. The show was so good, and I watched almost all of it, and I was saying to Tim afterwards, like, I can't believe how good that show was, and it was only like an hour and a half. I can't believe we kept to our time.
3 hours.
And then he was like, no, it was 3 hours. I was like, really? I watched most of it. I cannot sit through an hour and a half.
Well, I'm seeing it, so I was looking at the
Oh, box. You would know. No, I missed a couple of sets. I popped out for a beer or to talk to – I did a set, so I was in the green room for a minute or two, but – I mean, I really sat in the showroom and watched almost everyone's sets, and it just flew by because everybody was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried the same thing on how long it would be, and I think – what did we start at, 7:30, a little after?
Started a little late. It was like 7:50, I think, when it started. Yeah.
But I feel like
the
first time I looked at my clock, it was close to 10, and for a show being that long and not getting antsy, like, yeah.
That's the first time you look at your clock.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really good show for that to...
And we're comedians, so it's not... our patience with comedy is often a lot less than with the general public.
Yeah.
I think people don't appreciate that necessarily. It's like, it's not that we don't... I love to watch comedy. I can't sit and watch an hour and a half of comedy anymore,
it's real
really.
Tough.
I mean, it has to be... It would have to be really... A 20-minute opener that I really liked... That was good, and then one comic doing an hour that I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
But like the MC feature headliner, I'm taking a drink break in the middle there. I'm gonna pop outside and make a phone call. I can't watch that much, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, I
this was just straight.
Sat and watched most of it, and I laughed out loud, which is something like belly laughed out loud multiple times. Like
Yeah.
It was a great show.
And the crowd was unbelievably solid.
That was one of the hottest crowds I've ever been in front of. I mean, they were like supportive beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I worked a crowd that just wanted it. Anything you give to them. It was like Mardi Gras. It was like riding on the parade, just looking for baubles for you to toss out.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, either paid a pretty penny or are basically part of the Acme family who was here. So there's nobody was like a casual comedy fan.
Yeah.
No,
I think we mentioned this last week. It sold out. Record sellout.
Yeah,
it sold out. They've never had a show sell out quicker than the show last week.
Yeah, and I was glad to see that a few of the people who did get tickets were people I've seen in the crowd many times for many years. And it was cool that they, you know, like people really wanted to be a part of this. And I've never gotten bugged for tickets like I've gotten bugged for tickets to that show.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, and I always try to help people out, but they weren't trying to get them for free. I mean, people were saying, "Can you just hook me up with? I'll pay." And mm-hmm. I was like, I got my plus one. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. So it was great. Thank you.
Let's do it
again
in 25 years. Or five, Lewis. We can do it in five.
And on that note, timslegel.com, all the episodes, you can find them there.
Yep, as well as brianmillercomedy.com and at realbrianmiller on Twitter. Oh, Emily, what's your...
EmilyGalati.com and at EmilyGalati on Twitter.
What you got going up? What you got coming up? Anything you want to plug?
I don't even remember where I am. I think I just might be stuck in Minneapolis forever.
Basically, come to Minneapolis open mics. We'll see us both. We'll be out.
Yeah, we'll be out.
I'm doing Bismarck, North Dakota, the 19th and 20th, 18th and 19th, whatever that, the weekend before Thanksgiving. I'll be headlining a little theater. I don't know the name of it, but it's supposed to be really good. So Bismarck, North Dakota, it's a theater. There can't be that many of them.
I think it's called the Bismarck.
Yeah.
Is it? Here's the thing. I guarantee you, you'll find it in the Yeller pages.
It could have been the best. I think when I was there, it sunk.
There you go.